time, but it's not that simple, is it? But I do believe we can do better. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. As you know, we are in a series. We started at the first Sunday in January. We started talking about how to expand our lives to be a more excellent offering to God, because we want to give all that we can to God. Don't we? Don't we, huh? Don't we want to give our very best to God? I believe this is so important. And you know, God's done so much for us. I mean, doesn't he have the right to ask us to do the very best that we can with the life that we've been given? So we talked the first week about beating procrastination, because we know that procrastination is one of those things that keeps us from accomplishing the best things that God has for us. And so we said, you know, sometimes we just got to just start and not be a perfectionist, you know, just to understand sometimes I've got to finish this project, set deadlines for ourselves to get on to the next thing. So we beat procrastination. Then we talked about achieving healthy self-respect, and Pastor Kathy did a wonderful job on this, drawing from Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God treasures us, and we need to treasure everybody around us. And a healthy ego says, I'm not garbage. I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King, and so is everybody else. And so we treat everyone else as somebody of great value. Expanding our minds, we talked about last week. We talked about how it's so important to exercise this muscle as well, that we take care of this mind and do all that we can to expand it and read and become all that we can in that notion. But this week, we're talking about extending our physical lives. Now, let me just tell you, I'm very humbled to give this message this morning because I'm not an expert. As you can tell, I have toothpicks and an olive for a body. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, but if I avoided topics because it affects me, I wouldn't be a very good preacher. The reality is, I need to hear these sermons as much as you do, and I am not standing on some hilltop telling you I've got it all figured out and I do it perfectly and the rest of you just need to catch up. In fact, there are people here that are twice as old as I am almost, and you're the ones that should be giving this sermon. But thank God that you're still alive and doing well, and you're well enough to be here among us today. We're glad that you're here. I guess there's nobody here twice as old. I'm 55, but you know, but there are people approaching it, and I'm glad that you're here and you're well and you're healthy. So this morning we are talking about how to extend our physical lives, and we're going to draw from Romans and Corinthians and a lot of other passages throughout the Scripture, because this is what I want us to grow old like. I want us to enjoy life for as long as possible. But this morning we're going to be in Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. I think of 1 Corinthians 6, just very next chapter, you know, sixth chapter again, where he's dealing with the same type of issue, where he's talking about how important it is to take care of the body and use the body well. And he says, all things are legal for me. I'm under grace. You know, you have freedom of God's grace here, right? I have freedom. But what he says is, while everything is legal for me, everything is not helpful for me. And so we have to take a serious look at how we live our lives. Because here's what I believe. I believe that we're all living underneath our potential. I do. I believe that we are all living underneath our potential, that there is a higher ability for every one of us. Now, I do need to preface this, that I know, understand I'm not foolish. I understand that there are diseases that attack us from living in a fallen world, that sometimes people get stuff. I mean, I just had a cold this week. I get that. I totally get that people get sick and some things happen that we cannot help. No doubt about that. My dad died at 54. My mom died at 66. Cancer runs in my family all over the place. But that doesn't mean that I'm just going to give up. And the reason I bring that up is because that's what they were doing in Paul's day. Paul was dealing with antinomianism that grew out of Gnosticism. And I know it just really threw you all into, what in the world is he talking about up there? Gnosticism was this notion that there are two sides of us. One is spiritual and one is physical. And spiritual is the only thing that matters. And so what you do with the physical body doesn't matter. And that's antinomianism, that the laws don't matter anymore because, after all, I'm under grace and I'm living spiritually and my physical body doesn't matter, so I can do whatever I want with my physical body. And that's not true. They stamped that out as a heresy in the early days of the church, and Paul attacked it all the time, this notion of docetism or Gnosticism and antinomianism, these ideas that the spirit and body are so separate. That's not true. God made us spirit and body, and we must take care of both. And what I mean by living under potential is we're a little bit like this guy. I'm a firm believer in live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse. That is just crazy. Here's what God said in Genesis 6:3. And I want to just give you a little context before we read this. Right at that time, there were all kinds of scriptures about people living 700 years, 800 years. Methuselah lived 969 years. And I know many people have many different ways of dealing with that. Well, they must have had a different calendar, or, you know, I've heard different gene pools, a more pure gene pool at that time. All kind of reasons, or it was pre-flood. And I don't know about all that. What I do know is this seems to be the standard. Now, in the days of David, in the book of Psalms, it said that people lived 70 or 80 by reason of strength, or 70 or 80 years by reason of strength, but in the end we all die. That was about 1,000 B.C. But along comes this Genesis writer in that time when people were living a long, long time, and all of a sudden says, this is the standard. God says this. So let's read it together. Then the Lord said, my spirit will put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. Now, that's a normal lifespan, so, I mean, someone may break this record, right? I mean, we know that people are, I mean, the modern record is about this age, isn't it? It's kind of stunning when you think about it, that this was written so long ago. And yet, this is the modern record, right around this age. And you know, during the Roman Empire, you know, people were dying at the average age of 40 because of war and the spread of disease, and they didn't have antibiotics and you know, all the things that we have, the convenience in modern medicine. And so people were dying at the age of 40. If you would have told them in the year 2017 people would be living to 90 years old, they would say, well, that's crazy. People can't live to 90. But they do. And maybe, just maybe, we could all live longer if we would take better care of our bodies and live better longer. And I think that it does matter. Now, because my parents died of cancer, I started getting the colonoscopy at the age of 40. Because I know that I have predisposition to cancer. So I better take care of this, huh? Right? That would be stupid of me not to take care of that. So, you know, I don't buy into this notion, well, your days are numbered. There's nothing you can do about it. That's crazy. We can do, I mean, if you step in front of a freight truck, you know, the Bible says you sow the wind, what? You're going to reap the whirlwind. And so there are things we can and we must do to take care of our bodies. And so we're going to talk about why we do this. Because life is good. Now, I used to feel guilty about this. I used to hear people say, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to see Jesus. And I would think to myself, I can wait. You know, maybe I'm not so spiritual. You know, I mean, I love my wife. I mean, when she walks in on Sunday morning, and I'm already here for a while, there's like, my heart still goes, whoo, my wife's here. You know, my wife, I love her. I love my kids. I mean, to be able to hold my granddaughter in my arms and enjoy her presence, it's amazing. I just love life. I loved Wednesday or Thursday. What night did we get? Friday night. We got together at a college lodge, and the fellowship among the Christian body, it was awesome. It was just awesome to spend time with Christians on earth. I know it's going to be awesome to spend time with Christians in heaven. I know it's going to be awesome to see Jesus. Sometimes we even joke about it. It's like the couple is in a bad accident. They arrive at heaven at the same time. And he sees the glories of heaven. He looks over at his wife and says, "Gertrude, if it hadn't been for your stupid bran muffins, I could have been here 20 years ago." But I know that life is a marvelous, marvelous gift, and I don't want to shorten it. I love to see the change of the seasons. I love to see the things that happen in this world. Even the hard things are awesome, aren't they? I mean, if you've ever been with a dying saint, if they give up their life to God, it is an amazing thing to experience. Life is incredible. And it must be valued and treasured no matter how old it is, no matter how young it is, because here's the deal. God gives our bodies legitimacy. Let's read this together. "Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your whole body." You must. This is not an option. You can't say, it's my business how I take care of my... No, it's not your business. God paid for it. Christ died on a cross for you. We do not own our bodies. We must take care of our bodies. These bodies belong to God. He paid a dear price. And we must care for it. I love this slide. Out of all the places in the universe, God chose, should be C-H-O-S-E, your body. That's his dream house. That's where he wants to live. This is where he chose to live. That's why he stands at the door and knocks. Says, "If anybody hears my voice, open the door, I'll come in." God gives our body great value. When he comes into our lives, all bets are off. This is God's dwelling place. He's paid the price. And I don't care how old they are, how young they are, how dumb they are, how smart they are, what color they are. I don't care anything about any of that. If they are gods, they're gods, period. And their life is valuable, all their lives. And there is no way we can ever, I hear the word illegitimate, it just drives me crazy. Sometimes people get it backwards, but that doesn't mean that the child's illegitimate. There's no such thing. Everybody is valuable. Everybody is incredibly valuable. And life must be treasured all the way through. I used to love when they would bring John Paul out and prop him up, and he would give his little sermons. And I used to think, that is a message for us, that though this man can't even hold himself up, he still had a message for us. I believe we must continue to value human life all the time. And do you know we honor God when we make good use of our bodies? Let's read Romans 12:1 together. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Is it really too much to ask? Do we live well? Do we take care of ourselves? Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask that we use our bodies well?" And really, I got to be honest with you, he's dealing with the big problem that was in the Roman Empire at that time, sexual impurity. And that's always a problem. But in our day, we have a big problem with obesity. We have a big problem with tobacco abuse. We have a big problem with bad diets, bad habits. And we need to give these up. We must. And I'm preaching to myself here because I love cookies. And I need to cut back. One donut a week is enough, right? I mean, we all need to live better and longer. This is God's desire, and he's calling us to this. And I believe we can and we should. We just absolutely should. Because after all, we are the body of Christ, aren't we? Aren't we the body of Christ? He doesn't have any hands or feet except yours and mine. We are the body and feet. I mean, he had hands and feet on earth. That was in the person of Jesus Christ. He ascended to heaven. We're the devil now. We are his body. And if his body is sick and old and not well, it can't take care of the things that God once cared for. So God wants us to take good care of our bodies. So let's talk about how now. Gaining abundant life. I think this is so important. We learn that somewhere between 1 in 5 and 1 in 4 people are obese in America now. That's a problem. And that's an easy fix. Eat less calories, move more. It's that simple. It is a matter of math. And we need to do it. We need to do this. 60% of unnecessary deaths are attributed to tobacco, diet, and exercise. That's a big deal. These are preventable deaths, preventable slowdowns. I don't want to get to the age of 65 and have to retire because I'm worn out. I don't want to be 66 and look up at the front of the church and see some other guy or woman preaching saying, that should be me, but I'm too sick to do that. I want to live well as long as possible, and I'll bet you do too. The way some people live, I swear they're just too anxious to meet Jesus. Well, the first, we're going to talk about an acronym here called GRAM. And that is, first of all, give up worry, right? Give up worry because it doesn't work. It's unnecessary stress. So it's like this lady here. You know, she's spot on. Experts say caffeine is bad for you, fat is bad for you, sugar is bad for you, but don't worry because that's bad for you too. So don't worry. You say, well, I can't help it. I'm just a worry worry. I can't help it. I mean, it's just who I am, right? I mean, let's read what worry does to you, right? So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. Worry is bad for you. It causes stress. We know for sure stress causes disease. So what do we do if we're worrywarts? Well, the Bible has something to say about that. I bet you're surprised to learn that, right? But no, the Bible has the answer for everything, and it has the answer for this one too. It says that instead of worrying about anything, pray about everything, giving thanks to God. That's how you stop worrying. Sometimes I wake up worrying about somebody in this congregation or worrying about something else. And you know what I do? I start praying. And I start giving thanks to God for what God has done. And I go back to sleep and I stop worrying. It's kind of neat how that works. So when you worry, don't. Pray and give thanks. And when the worry starts coming back, stop it again and pray and give thanks and get that stress out of your life because worry never fixed anything. Just care for it. Relationships are really big too. Did you know that your health and longevity is connected to your relationships? It's in the commandments. This is one of the 10 commandments that Paul carries forward in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read it together. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. And you think, now come on, is that really true? Yes, it's true. Relationships are huge. We have found out that even people that have pets do better. So here's the deal. You are in relationships with imperfect people, right? I don't have to tell you this. You live with them. You work with them. You know they're all imperfect. Aren't people something sometimes? And so guess what? You have two phrases. They have three words each that you have to use all the time. And here they are. I am sorry and I forgive you. Say them often. Learn them. Rehearse them. Say them over and over because those are the only words that are going to keep you in a healthy relationship all your life. I am sorry. I forgive you and mean it. Keep your relationships healthy so that it may go well with you. You know, it says in the New Testament, husbands, be nice to your wives so that your prayers may be heard in heaven. Now, if you're praying for good health and you're not being nice to your wife, what do you think is going to happen? How we deal with our relationships are really important. Attitude is important, isn't it? Because attitude is just huge. Do you know that people that attend church regularly and pray regularly live an average of 8 years longer and respond to surgery better and faster? It's remarkable. If I told you that you could do anything else and add 8 years to your life and recover from surgeries more quickly, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Because here's the deal. When you go to church regularly and you worship God and you understand how awesome our God is and you pray to Him regularly and you lift Him high in your heart, your life is better. You have a system to deal with the problems of life. And so there's less stress and you have a different attitude. That every crisis is not the end of the world. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this too. Sometimes, you know, attitude is just a problem. And sometimes I just need to say, enough with the bad attitude. Get on with a good attitude. Get over it. And live out a good attitude. Because attitude is huge. Because it causes so much stress in our lives and the lives of the people we love if we don't have a good attitude. Attitude is huge. Have you ever noticed presidents, when they become president and they're there for one term or two terms, how old they look so fast? Well, what do you think it's like having all that negative stuff coming at you all the time? You can't even turn on the TV without seeing yourself being criticized. It must be horrid being in that place. Attitude is everything. Get the stress away from your life. Mental activity is another biggie. This is huge. Because mental activity is something that we could take care of our brains. We talked about this last week. The necessity of caring for our brains regularly, doing puzzles, reading, getting into the depths of God's Word, understanding, because you will never get to the bottom in the depths of God's Word. No matter how many times you unfold it, there's more there. It goes deeper and deeper every time you read it. And you will be amazed by how much it'll stretch your mind as you read the Word of God. So you want to be in that and allowing your mind to be stretched and disciplined. And then finally, self-discipline. And this is huge because it really all depends on discipline here. It does. I mean, without discipline, we're not going to do any of this right. So we have to have discipline. And how do we get self-discipline? We get it from the Holy Spirit, right? Let's read together 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and of self-discipline. We know that Jesus was a disciplined person. Jesus fasted regularly. He went to the temple and prayed regularly. He had discipline in his life. We read about the discipline of those Daniel and the people that went into exile in Babylon, how they had this disciplined life and they had a better life because of it. Discipline's important. Self-discipline. Of course, you know the other side of this. Sometimes we just don't have enough discipline. Sometimes people are alcoholics. Sometimes people are addicted to things. And when that's the case, the 12-step program always says one thing. What do they say? You need to ask help from your higher power. And sometimes, if it's something that we cannot get control over, we better be praying about it and asking our Almighty God, because He's not an impersonal higher power. Ours is the Christian God who loves us intimately, who created us, who gave His Son Jesus Christ for us, and cares about us deeply, and wants us to live a life that's long and healthy and full and abundant until we reach heaven. And so today, I've asked Katie Mihalchek to come and share some discipline with us, and then we're going to pray. Katie is an expert in the field. Come, Katie. Katie is an expert in the field. If you use a lectern, I know that mic is on. She's an expert. She has education. We have this in the bulletin for you. So if you're one of those people sitting there right now saying, I'm old and she's young, there's nothing I can learn from her, just give that up and listen to this lady that has some really great advice for us that's easy to remember.
Thanks, Pastor Bill. Good morning, Grace. My name's Katie. I grew up in this church, so I probably know a lot of you, and it's just a huge honor to be with you today. As Pastor Bill was saying, the Lord's been really neat about shaping my education and my path to cultivating a passion for wellness, and I'm in school to be a dietitian right now, so I have some background in this area, and I'm just hoping to share some helpful advice with you today. So we know that through the Lord alone, that's the only thing that's going to make us completely whole. But my lesson today is a little bit about halves for you to remember. So that's our theme as we go throughout. And my first little tip, I'll start with nutrition because that's my favorite. Your first half with this one is to try to make half your plate fruits and vegetables. So I know we like to make half our plates sometimes the protein or the carbs, and that's fantastic, but try to work in half the plate fruits and veggies, get some fiber, get some color, just try to vary that plate. So that's your first one. And your second one is going to be about hydration. So my tip for this is half a gallon of water a day. So that's going to be 8 cups, and it doesn't mean, the good news is it doesn't mean you have to get rid of all your other beverages that you like. Just try to keep incorporating some water in there too, and that's a really great healthful lifestyle change to make. And next up is physical activity, and this one can kind of seem like the most difficult one to achieve, but there could be some ways that you're already doing it that are kind of sneaky, which is neat. So the recommendation for adults is half an hour of exercise per day, and you can get this through a moderate intensity way like walking, that's completely fine, or running, hiking, dancing, anything like that that's cardiovascular, because your heart's a muscle, so the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And you're probably already doing a couple of these at home. Shopping, gardening, and cleaning your house can count as your exercise too. And so if you've never done anything like this before, just start slow. You can work your way up, and I'll talk a little bit about some ways that you can incorporate some other people in this task as well. But the next one is stress management. And Pastor Bill was talking about the worrying Bible verses, which is great. And the good one with this is for your half is that if you do the nutrition, exercise, and hydration, you're halfway there with stress management already, because those are great ways to kind of circumvent pressures of life that come. And a couple other strategies you could use include getting adequate sleep. That's a hard one for me personally, but trying to get a really consistent rest regimen in your life is helpful. Prayer walking is a great one too for Christians, because you can get that daily exercise in, also that communication with the Lord and just bringing those burdens to his feet. Using your feet, life is good. And another one is just planning and getting some time management. And that's just sort of focusing on keeping a healthy margin in your life, which means you might be saying no sometimes to people to try to just protect some boundaries of your own stress management. And your last one is the buddy system. So this is your last half. And this one focuses on finding your other half to come alongside you with all this lifestyle change. It can kind of come at you fast, but we're only half the team by ourselves. So finding someone to partner with you, even if you decide to just do one or two of the lifestyle changes, it adds some accountability, it adds some fun. So that can be a coworker or a friend or a sibling. It could be your spouse or even a son or daughter. And someone shared this quote with me about the buddy system kind of, and I really like it. It's, your friends should double your joys and divide your sorrow. So think about a teammate to sort of add to these endeavors that you're going to focus on and changing some lifestyle modifications. And so since I'm in college for quite a while now, I like to review. So I'll do a quick little overview. So for nutrition, half your plate being fruits and vegetables. So that's your half for that one. Hydration is half a gallon of water a day, so 8 cups. And for physical activity, try to get half an hour in of any type of movement throughout your day. For stress relief, you're halfway there if you're following the other tips. And for the buddy system, try to complete that other half of your team and add a companion to come alongside you and help spur you on. So I believe in you all, and my prayers go with you with any and all of these lifestyle changes. Thank you.
Isn't that simple to remember? You just keep those halves in mind and you make a lot of good steps in this direction. So let us pray. God Almighty, how wonderful you are. We thank you for life. We thank you, God, for the awesome thing that it is, for the enjoyment that we get out of it, and how you love us, that you make things that are good for us pretty. You make beautiful colors, purples and reds and greens and things that are very attractive to our eyes. And Lord, we just pray that for those that don't have acquired a taste for those things, that they might acquire a taste. We pray, God, that you would really bless us, that you would lead us into the ways that leads to life. That God, you would bless each person in this congregation. And God, we do ask for those who are being affected by disease. We know that we do live in a fallen world. We know that it is impossible to live forever. And sometimes disease hits far too young. And we lift them to you. God, we pray for mercy. We pray for healing. We pray that you would be their great physician. For we know that even when Jesus was on earth, he cared so much about people that when he found them with disease, he would reach out and he'd touch them and he would heal them. But we also remember there are times when Jesus said, go and sin no more. And so, Lord, we do not want to sin against our body or sin against you. And we ask for help. That, Lord, you would give us strength and discipline, that you would help us to live well, that truly, Lord, you would give us wisdom far beyond the wisdom that we currently have. Guide us into all truth. Guide us, Lord, to live our lives in a healthy, wellness kind of way, that we might be able to bless others for a long, long time. For we know you have blessed us to be a blessing. And Lord, we want to be a blessing. And we can't be a blessing if we're sickly or dead. So God, you've given us this one life to live here on earth, and we want to do it well. We promise you today that we're going to try to be more self-disciplined, and we're going to keep coming back to you for help on that. And we would ask, Lord, that those New Year's resolutions that may have already gone away, that today those would not just be New Year's resolutions, but there would be a covenant between you and us, Lord, between heaven and earth, and that we would keep this covenant, and that we would be blessed because we can never outdo you. We have seen you do amazing things. You're a good, good God. We pray for those who are home and sick today, especially. There is a flu virus and colds and such that are affecting so many. And we lift all of them to you, praying your blessing upon them. We pray your guidance in all of our lives, even as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they prayed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Will the ushers please come? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We love you and we need you. Lord, we ask it, whatever we have returned to you, that you multiply it to be used in your holy name. And all God's children said, amen.
Please remain standing as we sing our final hymn, Hymn of Promise.
There's probably at least somebody here still holding out on me. So I'm thinking there's probably someone like, well, when I was growing up, I ate healthy so I could grow up. And I'm grown up now, and I don't need to worry about that anymore. Well, let me just tell you something. Every single day from the time you were born, you are creating new cells, and cells are dying off. Which means that if you're 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, you're still creating cells. And they better have good nutrition to do that, right? So no matter how old you are, this matters. We're always so careful about what we feed our children. It still matters. It still matters. Amen? Now, when I was growing up, I saw kids singing a song, I am a promise, I am a possibility, I am a promise. I see a lot of promise here. I see incredible promise. And I know God's about to do a great thing in all of you. To God be all honor and glory in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, friends. Amen.